This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Guys, what's up? Oh, wow. I thought I couldn't get any cringier. I have a Patreon at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for mostly PaleoBytes, this show, a little bonus content for my other podcast, The Ritwit, if that's still going on. Who knows at this point? For the PaleoBytes bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about nobody's favorite Pixar movie, The Good Dinosaur. More like The Mediocre Dinosaur. Am I right? Got him. So we discussed that, we rate it, fun stuff. Sorry if you're a fan of that movie, because we're not very nice to it. But, you know, hey, opinions, they're a wonderful thing. If we all viewed art the same way, the world would be a very boring place. And I say that as someone who genuinely likes the movie 10,000 BC, a movie that has 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. So really, like whatever you like. So, link is in the description, where you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a wonderful day. Yay, yay.
Roar. Growl, snarl, bellow.
Welcome to PaleoBytes, the podcast that loves prehistory. Like, loves it. I want to marry it. I want to marry it so bad. And then I want to f*** the ever-loving shit out of it. And then I want 7 kids with it. I want to grow old and die with it.
7.
Before finally becoming a fossil as prehistoric as it is, buried in the ground with it for eternity. My name is Matthew Donald, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week we are joined by a very special guest co-host.
He's rolling his eyes.
He's rolling his eyes as we speak, being as zombie-like as the dinosaurs when they inevitably could become alive in the museum, I don't know, as the skeletons. He said he would never go into PaleoBytes, but against his principles, here he is because we are in desperate times. Some of my co-hosts have had some issues, so I've had to hastily get some episodes ready to go, and so, thankfully, devoting his time, it is one, only, Matthew David Seivert. How are you, buddy?
It's good to be here, buddy. I mean, I say that I was never planning to get on PaleoBytes proper, and truly, but I've been on the Patreon stuff, so it's not like I'm completely foreign to, well... For those of you supporting Patreon, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Even if by the time this comes out,
show.
I'm not getting it anymore.
I like it. Like, we really appreciate it. Like, this isn't your
like
show.
Like, this is a we thing anymore. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, that's the thing. Like, we as listeners might know, we host, currently on indefinite hiatus, a show, The Ritwits, where two twits talk about rating. Hey, if you want me to get my vigor back.
Yeah, I would love for all of you to go check out
go
the Ritwit.
Go all check Please it out. Download it. Become patrons.
Just support us like crazy.
Become patrons and then say in your patron message, I will rescind my Patreon subscription if you don't post more episodes of The Rit Way. If enough people do that, I'll be like,
You can do comments to say, but David is so good of an addition. Why don't you do more podcasts with him? And then
I'll be like, okay, great. I'll get him more on Paleo Bites then.
Not how this is going to work. All right. Anyway. Okay. Other than that, though, I'm doing well. I'm excited because it is a different, a different environment for us. Like, obviously, we have our own thing that we've done for a very long time successfully. Well, you might argue success, but nonetheless,
it lasted 160 episodes and
If that is your definition of success, then yes, we were.
You know
successful.
How many podcasts have just like one episode, and then the hosts are like, "I'm bored."
Fair enough. I mean, it's an investment in time, obviously. Yeah. And we had a long running podcast, but this podcast is a completely different format. So I'm excited to play around in it.
Well, I will admit that. Well, one of the things we do at the beginning is like a dinosaur related question.
Oh gosh, what are you going to ask me on about this?
Okay, so so I had to drag you kicking and screaming to do this show because you say
there's a carrot at the end of this stick, by the way. But just you wait and find out.
All right. It's because you're like, oh, I'm not qualified to talk about it. I've always argued.
I am not.
Well, I was arguing like none of my co-hosts are, and I barely am. So a lot of times, though, I like the theme, the dinosaurs or other creatures, based off my co-host's interests.
Mm-hmm.
What hypothetical creature, I've talked about this before in particular off air, but what hypothetical creature would they have to discover that under normal, non-desperate measure circumstances would get you on the show?
Oh, that's right. I remember this conversation now. Okay. So
I guess more so much the creature, but what they'd have to name it. Because that's really what it's like in terms of your interests or whatever. Oh, I guess the creature itself. You could describe it.
Well, okay. So the creature itself would probably have to be an incredibly special breed because it would have developed a bunch of different colors. I'm not going to say plumage or scales or whatever. I'm not going to go there, but it had to develop a bunch of colors. And if there were five different colors that made it almost look like it by itself could present a team as a united front.
Five
different variants. So maybe it's five different variants of the same creature and all of them are like solid, whatever color. Mm-hmm. But if that was discovered and it was found in Japan, because, of course, Japan is important to me. That's not a spoiler for those who know me any better than this episode. But
and it would be named.
And it would probably then be jokingly named the Sentai whatever.
Sentai Raptors or something.
Sentai Raptor. I mean, Raptor's probably the best one because it would actually make sense to have that of all
different colors.
Okay, and
what would these five colors be, you might ask?
Well, I mean, they could be just about any five colors. One of them has to be red.
Yeah.
Another one has to be blue. And the others, well, they're up in the air.
I'm going to say, the others could be, what are the original five colors?
So the original five colors are red, blue, yellow, pink, and green in their numerical order. That's why I had to think about that.
Okay, but I thought the green one, or am I thinking of Zero Ranger, where the green one comes in later?
Well, Zero Ranger is one that actually, they did red, blue, black, yellow, pink, and then added green.
Okay.
But that's
I was
going to
make a joke.
Five.
I was going to make a joke that they found those original five, and then later on, when
they found
the
sixth one,
they found
the sixth one,
it's green. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to get Matt Seifert on the show. He has to talk about this. He's still like,
we're going to have to figure out how you reference me on this show because it's going to be weird.
That's true. You usually go by Matt David because my
name's
Matt.
Well, I usually just go by David because we have the same name, but I guess I will, in deference, call you Matt, but you probably just call me David.
I'm going to call you Greg.
You're going to call me Greg.
That's
all
an
right,
in joke from that my friends. So great.
For those friends who understand the joke, thank you for listening.
I just learned today that my girlfriend, to differentiate you, calls you Maddie S. She's great. Anyway, so we're not talking, unfortunately, about the elusive.
This is not the hypothetical Sentai whatever.
Yeah. We are talking about Japanese dinosaur, though.
I mean, it had to be.
And we are talking about a raptor.
We are talking about a raptor.
Now, you're going to have to tell me how to pronounce the beginning.
Named
after a specific prefecture.
Yes.
And the jokes on this show write themselves, but I know there's a different sort of.
This one should not write itself because it's a different language. The proper name of this, do you want me to introduce the creature or just?
Yes, why don't you introduce the creature?
Okay, so today I have the pleasure of talking about the Fukui Raptor.
Fukui Raptor is the thief of the Fukui Prefecture. What is a prefecture? I don't know. I'm a dumb American. I don't know states and cities.
Prefectures like the states of Japan.
Okay.
So very similar. It's kind of like provinces in Canada, too.
I was going to say, like, I don't know, prefectures or province. Is it, what's
province? We have states, darn it.
Yeah, everyone else should have states.
But to wit, I lived in Japan for 5 years, so I'd have a hard time not calling it a prefecture.
What is a providence? That's a different word.
Providence?
Is that just...
Is that like a government, a special like governmental designation for a location?
Listeners, write in. What's a
province? Please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. I'm sorry. That is a bad habit.
It is not your show. I mean, look, you can for this.
I am so good at that, though.
This is how you're not qualified. It's actually that you're too qualified for the podcast.
I am too qualified for the hosting thing. I am not qualified about the information.
You're too qualified to be a co-host. You're not qualified enough to be. Okay, anyways.
It's probably because we've perfected a patter for so long.
Exactly.
Moving
on. Anyways, type is a Megaraptor and theropod. I'll get into what the Megaraptorins are. Size 13 to 16 feet / 4 to 5 meters long, 660 to 1,300 pounds, 300 to 590 kilograms.
So this is a pretty big boy.
It was a big boy, but not a huge boy.
Not a huge boy. Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of dinosaur weights, that is probably like next to nothing. But
well,
I would think,
yeah,
considering how much I weigh, which I will redact for strategic reasons.
Let's see. Matt Seifert, weight 660 to 1,300 pounds, 300. Oh, look, you weigh exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Yeah, but that's because I'm a really big boy, obviously. That's what I'm getting at.
I'm a bigger boy, but only relatively.
Only. You're... If I weigh 660 to 1,300 pounds, it just depends. I had a skip day on my diet the other day. That was the problem.
All right, so guys, diet carnivore.
This is why. Way too much protein.
Time, early Cretaceous, 127 to 115 million years ago. Location, Japan, specifically in the Fukui prefecture.
Yep.
It was described.
Well, and Fukui is fun because they have a wonderful dinosaur museum there.
Oh, it makes sense. Well, because I'll get into it. There's a lot of Fukui dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Complete your collection.
Anyway.
Described in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Pop culture references. Yeah, right. Like, I think it's going to be brave enough to feature the Fukuoraptor.
I knew it was coming.
Okay.
He couldn't stop himself.
Okay, Japan has an interesting history in regards to the dinosaurs, as well as the Japanese people loving the ever tokusatsu crap out of them, if you watch any of their movies or TV shows.
Hey, kaiju films.
Exactly.
I'm actually getting into kaiju films recently.
I got to show you the MonsterVerse at some point. The land as a whole has a certain geological significance in the time of dinosaurs. Back in the Cretaceous, Japan was not a series of islands, but a coastal region of the easternmost parts of the Laurasian supercontinent. It wasn't until roughly 20 million years ago in the early Miocene, and well after the dinosaurs, that the land began to separate from mainland Asia.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's see. Thus, back in these early Cretaceous times, the lands that would be later known as Japan were freely accessible to any and all wildlife back in the day.
Because it was just connected to the Laurasia,
exactly.
Basically.
One of the best formations to find such creatures is the
Kitadani
Formation. Okay. A unit of early Cretaceous sedimentary rock that crops out near the city of...
Katsuyama.
Thank you. I have these notes here. Thankfully, I have a fluent Japanese person. Katsuyama in the Fukui prefecture of Japan. And it's this Fukui that Fukui Raptor gets its name.
Well, a lot of other dinosaurs, too, I think, is what you were jokingly saying about the collection.
I'll get to that later. So, as much as I'd like to joke about Fukui Raptor look like a Fukui Raptor that I already did earlier. Again, there's so many
so many raptor sounds.
That would be insensitive and unprofessional to make raptor jokes.
That stopped you before.
Well, actually, I got a bunch of flack for talking about Santana Raptor as a Christmas episode. So I'm not doing that again.
Oh, yeah, sure, because you already did it once.
Actually, I don't get a lot of comments on the YouTube versions of...
So this literally came from the YouTube?
This was a literal YouTube comment. I was like, Santana doesn't mean Santa, you... It's just like, this is an actual comment, and they left a downvote in the video.
Oh, my god!
I'm like, I'm not doing that again, I guess.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's I promise there's a point. Where do you find everything?
On the internet?
The last place you look.
Oh, okay.
Because you'd be dumb to keep looking if you found it, right?
That's true.
You've already done it once. What's the point of doing that again?
That's true. So I'm not doing that again. But other cultures can have whatever names in their native language they want. If they happen to coincidentally sound similar to naughty parts of English, then whatever. Like, I mean, how about many people in East Asia have the name Dong?
Yeah, that's a disturbingly high number.
In the Netflix show The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Kimmy meets a cute Vietnamese man named Dong and starts chuckling, and then says her name is Kimmy, to which Dong replies, haha, where I'm from, that word means penis.
Talk about subverting a joke.
It's a very funny show, I gotta say. You should watch it. If you don't, well, Fuku E-Raptor. I don't think that one needs to be censored.
Yeah, you don't even have to censor that one, yes.
Anyways, Fukui Raptor is part of the ever-confusing group of dinosaurs known as the Megaraptorans, which have been cladistically placed all over the theropod group because no one knows what the hell they are.
Oh, so that's why they have such a vague name as Megaraptor.
Well, the reason why they are called Megaraptorans is because most paleontologists confuse their rather large hand claws with the sickle-shaped foot claws of the dromaeosaurids.
Oh.
And Fukui Raptor is no exception. Hence why it has the suffix raptor in its genus.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But it's not actually in the dromaeosaurs. It's a hand claw, not a foot claw.
Right. So that would make a difference.
There was one originally called Megaraptor that was found in South America.
Sure.
And it was found just by the sickle claw. I'm like, oh my God, this sickle claw's enormous. It must be a real big raptor. A Megaraptor, if you will.
I mean, it's one freaking claw. Okay. Maybe this is
20 inches long.
It's a pretty impressive claw, but, it's one claw. It may as well be the full freaking organism if that's all you find of it.
See, this is where the not qualified part comes in.
This is where it's shining through brightly.
Because there are so many dinosaurs where we have just one or two bones.
I'm aware.
So
I'm aware, which is why we constantly get changing information, because all of these things come up and suddenly, oh, wait, it actually does go with this skeleton we already had. Whoops.
Exactly.
Not separate.
Yep.
Jack Horner.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a fan here, listeners.
Fan of the show.
I recently learned that Jack Horner has a cameo in Jurassic World.
I suppose he deserves that. He's a famous guy.
He's in the background. You remember you've seen the first. I've seen the second one against your will.
Yeah, I also saw the first Jurassic World, yes.
But at the first one, after Chris Pratt's character, I forget his name, he's just basically Chris Pratt. I think Owen Grady or something.
Owen, I think is
yeah,
the name, yeah.
He finishes the initial training of the raptors from above, mm-hmm. and then when they're done, they all go away. You see a bunch of trainees or other people high-fiving and whatever. It's like, oh, we did it. And one of them is Jack Horner. I like to think it's actually the real Jack Horner, that he's asserting, in-universe, he's like, well, I'm going to help train these raptors. What else is a paleontologist going to do?
I could not tell you that.
Anyways, so
I think you were talking about dromaeosaurs.
Okay, Fukui Raptor's in the Megaraptorus family.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why it has the suffix raptor in its genus. The dromaeosaurids are in the celerosaur group of theropods, which also includes the tyrannosaurids. However, for a while, the Megaraptorans were considered to be part of the neovenatorid family, a group of theropods more closely related to the carcharodontosaurids like Giganotosaurus and Acrocanthosaurus.
Okay. Interesting that that's the new hunter family. Is that because of when they were discovered, maybe?
Neovenator. Oh, yes, you know your Greek. I think it's new in terms of, when it's...
So, it was later on in time,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes some sense. I just wasn't sure if that was because of when it was when it was discovered or when they existed.
A lot of families are named after their initial genus that sparked the family.
Megaraptor.
So we found a Neovenator.
Right.
And then we're like, okay, well, it doesn't seem related to anything else, so let's just Neovenatorids.
But then they find things that happen to be related to them or questionably related to
exactly,
them.
Exactly, exactly. So, then more recent cladistic analysis proposed the Megaraptorans are actually a subfamily of Tyrannosaurids, putting them back in the Celerosaur group of theropods they originally came from. What the hell are these things?
Well, I mean, if they're back where they came from, you could argue for now that's where they belong.
Yeah, exactly.
You missed this.
I missed this. You always make comedy so effortless. And I think it'd be a little bit better if you put some effort into it as well.
Sure, that's the takeaway.
That is not my joke. I got that from a Steve Martin short special on Netflix. I cannot claim that joke.
I always steal from people who are way better than I am. What are you talking about?
Steal from people who are far better than you. That's the best way to do anything. And for more on that, listen to our show, The
Ritwit,
where we talk about ripping off. Guys, that's how I would really like this show to come back.
We can't do the ding. It's the wrong show. Dang it! We need the button.
We canceled the show before the button came in.
Dang it! How dareth the world conspire against us?
By the world, you mean me, by canceling the show.
Well, okay. Yes, mostly you, but the world conspired against us that we didn't have the button already. All right.
That's the problem with paleontology. It's always going to be an incomplete puzzle we have to put together with a tiny fraction of the pieces. Someone's got to invent time travel already.
Yeah, I mean, it would really help. It would also help if the ways that they were, interred into their fossilization place wasn't so like scattered and would end up being separated by tectonic shifts and all that stuff that we can't control too.
Yeah, like the tectonic shifts also, like, it also depends on the layer being pushed up to the surface, which a lot of them aren't, you know.
Some of them probably push further down. Honestly.
If we can scan for things, maybe there's a lot of bones like miles beneath the earth.
So somebody needs to invent that.
Yeah. Get on that.
Get on that thing.
Anyway. Get on that, geologists. Anyways.
I find it ironic that it does get its name Fukui Raptor from the prefecture that it was excavated in, but, like, theoretically, that might not have been all of its territory, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not. That's just where we found it from.
Right.
Speaking of its name, though, Fukui Raptor shares its environment with many other dinosaurs, most of which are part of the big Fukui collection that I brought up recently.
Gotta get them all.
And this collection is Fukuisaurus, a herbivore relative of the iguanodontids, Fukui Titan, a titanosaur sauropod.
Wonder if that's the big boy.
That's the biggest Fukui boy.
Biggest of the ones. Yeah.
Biggest Fuku boy. Sorry, one more joke.
Fukui boy.
Fukui Venator, a meat-eating dinosaur that's actually in the raptor family.
Ironic, because it has hunter in its name instead of raptor thief.
And finally, Fukui Terex, a dinosaur that is pretty much 95% of the way there into birds.
Huh.
Collect all of them now. Got to catch them all. Each one sold separately.
You know, there's a place you can probably do that. Well, okay, that's... Nope, never mind. Not going to do that joke.
What was the joke? You have to do
it. I was
going to
say we have it at Nerds R Us. Go check it out.
we'll get to that at some point.
Except we don't yet.
Anyways, so before we get to that, though, when we get to where can we find you and you plug Nerds R Us.
All right, fair enough.
Well, you have to rate the ML1 app 65 million.
All right,
I don't know. I'm going to give it, like, I mean, it's a, other than its name and where it's from, I don't know, it's just basic Mega Raptor and
stuff.
Yeah, right?
Well, and Mega Raptor and genus sounds way cooler than it probably is, because it's just like, oh, gosh, this 20-foot claw is amazing.
20-foot claw? Whoa! 20 inches.
Oh, inches. Excuse me. That sounds way less amazing than it even did before when I apparently didn't
even
hear
the Therizinosaur with the biggest claws known to man, they were only 4 feet long.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
We're talking about freaking kaiju, speaking of Japan, anyway.
Speaking of kaiju, I mean, it could be a tokusatsu show. Who knows?
Okay, well, I'm going to rate this non-tokusatsu dinosaur, I don't know, like 18 million.
All right.
I don't know. Fine. It's more good for the jokes. Again, that I can't do because it's insensitive. YouTube commenter.
Blame it on the one bad apple and ruined it for all of us.
Oh, I should mention, one of the patrons actually suggested that we do this dinosaur. Friend of the show, Jesse, one of the patrons, he suggested, like, hey, can you do Fukui Raptor? And I'm like, cool, we'll do
it. Awesome, we'll do it. Well, thank you, Jesse, because that was the thing. We even named him on the Ritwit for supporting us, so thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Of course.
All right, well...
So I give you 18 million. What about you? Keep in mind, this is official records.
Seriously.
No.
Official fossil records, even. Wow, okay.
Yeah,
yeesh.
We're putting this in the ultimate time capsule, the Earth.
I was going to give it 4 claws out of 5, because that'd be a really interesting image, although I'm sure it only had, like, what, 1 per hand?
No, it had more than 1 per hand.
Maybe 2, at the most.
I probably had 3 per hand.
So, like, 2 kind of talon-ish?
Yeah, okay, in terms of, like, claws in general. The big claws, yeah,
big
1 per hand.
The big claws, 1, but then
the big claws,
1 per hand.
The other is, like, there were 2 others. Yeah.
All right, fair.
Okay, I thought you just meant claws in general. I'm like, what? It wasn't, like, a bird.
I was saying...
There's Mononychus, which did have 1 claw.
So, Nycus being, what, nail and mono 1?
Nycus is, like, claw. Yeah.
Oh, claw. Okay, fair enough. So that's the silly answer. The serious answer, the one that should go into the fossil record.
Again, into the ultimate time capsule, the Earth.
The ultimate time capsule. So great, it keeps being excavated. Yeah, I'm probably going to give it a 10 million. There was a joke in there that I was going to give it a 37 million.
Yeah.
One for each number of Sentai series before the show that told me that Fukui Prefecture has a dinosaur museum.
Ooh.
But I might save that for another one.
That's always something Christina would do, because she gave the lowest score on this entire show. Well, one of the lowest scores, because I rated one a little bit lower. But she gave like Sean Honosaurus.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to talk about not the caterpillar, the millipede.
Oh, that one I gave
Arthur
a 2.
Plura.
That was the lowest. I gave it a 2. Not 2 million, just 2.
2. I thought she gave it like a negative or something.
She gave it something. I think she gave it a little bit higher, like 3.
Thanks for listening to this episode, Christina. We appreciate you.
Now, the second lowest is she gave it, Sean Hossler, she said, there's only 8 bones found, so I'm just going to give it 8. I'm like, out of 65 failures? She's like, yeah. I'm like, ouch, Sean Hossler.
Talk about laying the beat down. Good grief. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's got a cool thing because it was found in Japan, and that is one of the reasons that Japan is so invested in dinosaurs in general. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's just another raptor.
And not even a raptor.
Not even a raptor, you know? And so I'm not going to say anything in, like, missed potential because what do I know about dinos? This is why it took him forever to drag me kicking and screaming onto Paleobites.
By the way, I should specify, listeners, if you're like, oh, wow, I love this dynamic between these people because clearly they've been friends for a long time. I can't wait to hear this for the rest of the show. Now, this is like a one-time – well, no, you got a couple more episodes. But these episodes – unless I can convince them to do more, this is a one-time thing. This in a couple more episodes.
This is literally...
this is a favor more than anything.
You go into the hallway and you see break glass in case of emergency. This is that emergency.
This is the Godzilla threshold has been crossed. So...
If you want more of the banter, go check out the Ritwit. We got plenty.
Please, give us more downloads.
Please.
Give me back that vigor.
We need that vigor or else I can't do it without him. So
yeah,
because
who's
anyway.
The one who edits it and pays for it?
I'm not saying you don't have a huge role.
Writes 90% of the skits.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, I'd say 10 million.
Cool. That's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd@matthewoncareer.com for any questions to any of our co-hosts, including one more.
Including the one that finally got in. rather than the one that got away.
Yeah, I was going to say, rather than the one that got away, the one that nearly got away.
And it nearly, very nearly got away.
Remember, this is the day that Captain Matt Seivert almost escaped. You can find me on social media at MatthewDonCreate on Facebook, at MatthewDon64 on Twitter, and MatthewDon64 on Instagram. Not a Y64 joke, though, if you want to find more
about
that.
Wrong show.
Wrong
sadly.
Show. Yeah. If you're interested in writing, I have, well, I guess not anymore.
You can still access it, though, so please do.
Yeah, you can find our show where it's all this for 160 episodes.
Most of 160, not all of them.
Yeah, I've been in all of them. You've had to miss out on a few, but...
Well, I mean, moving across an ocean again is kind of a good reason to miss a few episodes here and there.
Anyways, it's called The Ritwit. We're two twits. These two twits.
These exact twits.
Talk about ritting. Please support the show, give it way more downloads, and then get me that vigor back.
And for what it's worth, even if he never gets his vigor back, the content is... We're planning to leave it up. It is a lot of fun. We put a lot of effort into it, and we hope you enjoy.
Yes, absolutely. Also, I have a book series on Amazon Megazoic available for print and Kindle. There is not a Fukui Raptor in it, as far as I recall, but I remember putting one in the very first Megazoic.
That is
from
true.
2004.
That is
it's
true.
It's one of the first dinosaurs, like, as they're landing on the moon base, a Fukui Raptor guides them down.
A moon base. And this is not the version he published. Oh, doesn't it make you want to see the unpublished version, listeners?
I have to scrounge my old computer there to see if I can find it. All right. Anyways, that's where they can find me. Also, where can they find you?
So I mentioned a little bit jokingly, but I mentioned that I have another podcast as well called Nerds R Us, and that is available where you are listening to this podcast. But if you want to check us out, we have a Discord server, and I will pass that link on to Donald so he can include it especially in this episode.
It will be in the description for the episodes that you are in.
Yep, so. And you can get in touch with me there. Nerds R Us, just as a quick pitch for that. It's a store much like Toys R Us, Babies R Us. It's just for nerds. We're still searching for your fandom's aisle. Come on in and let us know what
it is. It's a store so big, they're searching for the aisles. It's like, like imagine like a Costco, and then imagine multiple layers of it like a big mall.
There is literally, the joke is, the never-ending, growing store that is.
It's a labyrinth. There's probably a few Minotaurs in there.
Watch
out for
them.
There
are a few Minotaurs in there. Figures. Maybe the real things. I don't know. You'll
anyway.
Have to go find it.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. And say at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites.
Totally what they said.
It's morphin' time. Fukui Raptor.
Fukui Titan.
Yeah, Fukui Raptor. Fukui Titan. Fukui Saurus. Fukui. What else do we have? Fukui Terex.
Fukui Terex.
Fukui Venator.
Venator, yeah. Anyway.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.